Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Yellow Dogs. Such a precious group. Always feel so encouraged when I sit with people like you. Thank you for being on the planet. Thank you for caring enough about yourself and others that you do so much work on yourself. And it's a difficult time. We could describe it in a lot of different ways, but, you know, we've got a hurricane coming towards us. Lots of people without electricity right now. And, you know, we're in the middle of an election year. So, you know, it filters down for sure. I'm so thankful for this practice because it's so easy for me to personally get way off, get really off balance. And thank goodness I have a system or a practice that enables me to keep that equilibrium where when crazy things are happening, I'm not going to go crazy. Well, for one thing, we need each other. I mean, we just certainly need each other. So we can't afford to be too crazy about it. But I'll start out with a golden rule by Neville Goddard, who was a Christian mystic. He says, treat others in your imagination just like you want them to treat you in reality. If you want someone to treat you kindly, you visualize them doing so. You don't wait for them to change. You change your perception. And then, of course, Gandhi says, be the change you wish to see in the world. And it's so, so important to remember that we are all connected and that we are all in this together. And so tonight I'm going to continue talking about right understanding or right view, which is the first step in the Eightfold Path. And we've talked about it this last week, but just a few more items about right understanding or right view. And I'm using a variety of works by Bhante G. and Jack Kornfield and Joseph Goldstein. So Jack says to start with right understanding, ask a question of our hearts. What do we really value? What do we really care about in life? Because we're beginning to understand life's quite short, and we can be complacent. It's easy for us to do that and let our lives disappear in a dream or are stuck in a way of seeing and doing things where there's not much relief or happiness. So we can do that or we can become aware. And it helps us with getting the big picture, which has always helped me in this practice when things maybe not be exactly the way I would like them to be in any parts of my life. Then it's good to reflect that we're much more than these bodies and mind. It just opens up the spaciousness that we need to feel all of it, feel everything that's coming up. So Jack says we just must ask what is most important to us. And he says, when we're ready to die, what will we want to have done? And did I love well? And so we can begin asking those questions right now, because it's not too late. We're not dead yet. So this is the beginning of right understanding, seeing that everything is impermanent and fleeting, and taking into account what matters to us most. Where do we put our time and energy? And in the same way, we can look at the world around us, where there is a tremendous amount of suffering. We've got wars going on, as usual. Poverty, disease, you know, all the things of life. So human suffering and hardship cannot be alleviated just by simple change of government or any kind of policies. All, even though these things are what we work towards, and we certainly put energy to do that, but on the deepest level, and this is where our practice comes in, problems such as we may be experiencing right now with the wars and with starvations and other things, cannot be solely solved by economics and politics alone. Just look at Gandhi, you know, what enabled his force to be his way of disagreeing. How did he do that? Because he changed the whole direction of a country. And so we have to be careful, because our source that gets us probably off balance more than anything, Jack says, is our prejudice and our fear in the human heart. But he says it only, the solutions or the questions to be answered also lies in the human heart. So in the beginning, right understanding deals with certain natural laws which govern our everyday lives. And one happens to be the law of karma, the law of cause and effect. Truly, every action brings a certain result. That's something we want to remember. Things are not happening to us by chance or accident. And whenever we act motivated by not understanding or forgetting that we're all connected, regardless of where we stand in anything in our lives, greed, hatred, or delusion, wanting it our way regardless, really pushing away parts of life that we don't really prefer or want, and then not having the wisdom it takes, the wisdom to know how to live the life of changes, because pain and suffering is evident. And as Ruth Dennison says, a meditation teacher, said when asked about karma, cause and effect, she says, "You don't get away with nothing." It's true. We don't get away with nothing. So when our actions are motivated by, the generosity that we are all connected, we don't all agree, but we are connected by generosity, love, and wisdom. And so in these times, it just behooves us to have a bigger, and I'm talking to myself, a broader view of us and them. Because what happens is there's more happiness and peace, regardless of how crazy it gets. And so if we integrate this understanding of the law of karma into our lives, we can begin consciously to cultivate and develop these wholesome states of mind that we can wake up to anytime, all the time, as many times as we need, in order to be human beings, be able to have the equanimity, the balance of always being the best human being we can be. So right understanding involves a profound and subtle knowledge of our true nature. It has to go beyond the mind. And we know the mind divides us and does all kinds of things that it needs to be managed, especially when we're stressed or we're concerned or, you know, we're motivated to act. So right understanding involves a profound and subtle knowledge of our true nature. And it becomes increasingly clear that life is full of suffering and this too will end. And so all the elements of the mind and the body exist in a moment and pass away, vanishing continuously. We're just in a cycle of changes. We live with changes, change after change. Oh, it's this way. No, it's this way. No, it's that way. So the breath comes in, it goes out, thoughts arise, pass away. We feel this way 1 minute, we feel that way another minute, and then it vanishes. Even within our own existence, we feel that pull of changes if we don't know how to relate to it and to keep it into really both worlds. The spiritual world or the spiritual journey where we know what we know about the kindness and generosity. And then sometimes when we get bogged down in our worries and our fears, we don't always do it right. But of course we know what to do with that too when we don't always do it right, because we begin again. So everything's in constant flux. It's like swimming that river, and we know that. We feel it in our bodies. We feel the little resistances, and we feel the big ones. So there's no lasting security to be had in the flow of permanence. And deep inside into the selfish nature of all elements begins to offer a different perspective. And so that perspective I'm having to remind myself is most important. Perspective on my life and other lives in the world. So the mind stops grasping and clinging when the transience of everything is realized. Okay, this is the effect. The mind stops grasping and clinging when the transient of everything is realized. That the process of mind and body, without the burden of ego, we begin to see this in our own meditation. What the world needs most is people who are less bound by prejudice. It means it needs more love. Have we heard that before? What the world needs now. We need more generosity, more mercy, more openness, more ways to know how to, in a connected way, disagree. And because the root of all human problems is not a lack of resources, but comes from a misunderstanding, from also our fears, and from the separateness. And we have to rely more on our hearts. That's just the way of things on the spiritual practice. And thank goodness we know that. Thank goodness we can bring that in during the hard times. So right understanding starts by acknowledging suffering and difficulties in the room, not only in the room, but in the world around us and in our own lives. So it asks us to touch what do we really value inside, and to use that as the basis of our spiritual practice. So when we see that things are not quite right in the world and in ourselves, we also become aware of another possibility, of the potential for us to open to this greater loving kindness and intuitive wisdom that we practice our touch. And from our heart comes inspiration for the spiritual journey. So it's time to stand up. That's true. So let's stand up, but let's stand through the heart. And it seems to be the only way out of suffering. And so I'm going to quit there because Randy and I decided short Dharma talks, so it gives you're such good Dharma teachers, give you opportunities to not only ask questions, but input on what you know, what you yourself know. Thank you.